99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. The time now is 1 p.m. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind coming up.
Ben Starr and Kevin O'Donohue here with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And a more positively minded life is something that we're all trying to get to this week. It's been quite a week, Kevin, quite a week of emotions and tensions and, well,
feelings.
A lot of feelings going around.
Yeah.
A lot of intense feelings. And, you know, we've gotten some feedback from those of you out there listening through your emails and your phone calls and, you know, listeners that we speak to regularly who pass through the center here on West 57th Street, who've told us that they right now more than ever have been turning to some of the older archived content with Armand's shows for comfort in a time that's been tough for a lot of people. And, you know, Kevin, we talked about that in the run-up to this show.
Yeah.
And we thought that maybe today would be a good day to pull what we consider a classic from the archives and air some of that here today.
Yeah. This show that you're going to be hearing is The Positive Attitude. And he says so many interesting things in this show. And one is obviously that your negativity, people's negativity, is like a magnet. We can all get drawn in and sucked into somebody else's negativity, especially if we're feeling fear ourselves. And that's what I think everybody is feeling, or many people are feeling, fear out there. And if, you know, when you're feeling fear, somebody talking negative is talking about something concrete, specific. Yeah, it might not be in the present. It might be what happens when this happens. So it might be something about the future, encouraging this fear or this negativity. What happens when you just let that go? I mean, are there times, Ben, when you can just be totally impervious to someone's negativity?
It can happen. I mean, it is difficult. It's very difficult. And I think, like you said, Kevin, negativity can so often be like a magnet, right? And, you know, it's very easy to be pulled into it. And the real challenge, I think, is asserting the ideals of positivity and faith and hope in the face of fear and negativity. So I don't think that I don't think that anyone is impervious to negativity, but I think that we do owe it to ourselves to try to move beyond that and find a place for a positive mind, I mean, a positive attitude. And that's what you're going to hear in this show that we're going to be rebroadcasting. It's been many years since this show was aired, so, you know, some of you may know it, others of you are going to be hearing it for the first time, but when we were combing through the archive, we found that this was probably one of the most timely and relevant pieces that we could share with you today.
Yeah, he's talking about change also here, and people fear change. He talks about wanting sameness. We're very comforted by sameness. So when we see people who look like us, when we see family, when we see, you know, when we're in familiar parts of the country where people look like us, where we're more comfortable than if we go to places where we look different than people.
Well, it kind of makes me think of the age-old American divide between city and country, right?
Sure.
people from the city go to the country and they think it, you know, they're kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah, they can be made to.
They have trouble sleeping at night because, you know, the crickets are right. so loud. They hear the howling coyote out in the distance. It feels empty. It feels scary.
Yeah.
And likewise, people from the country are skeptical of the city. You know, constant fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
And what we wanted to do today was really put out there, put over the radio waves and out into New York and the tri-state area and the country and the internet and the whole world, put out a more positive outlook, a feeling that positivity and healing is possible.
And how to keep yourself positive. I mean, you know, this show is a great example of what Armand does. I mean, one show, he pretty much presents all the lessons of psychology. You know, happiness takes practice. You have to practice it. You know, it just some days it's there naturally. But on days when it's not there, when you're anxious or depressed or you're negative or critical or judgmental, you have to practice making yourself happy. And it's not a Pollyanna prescription. It's something that you can do. For instance, you know, one of the things he talks about here is all this negativity that you might have is really something about tomorrow. You know, with this election, you know, the fear is all about tomorrow. We don't know the ramification. We still have our old president still working for us, you know. So all this negativity or criticality or criticism, judgment, is based in your mind. It's upstairs in your body. And so you need to practice getting back into being here, being present now.
Well, I just want to add to your point, Kevin, about having to work at happiness. I think it's mental health, just like physical health, it requires a maintenance.
Yeah.
It requires being active and close monitoring. I mean, for example, if you never ever ate any healthy foods and you never ever did any physical mm-hmm. exercise and never ever stretched,
sure.
never ever, you know, paid attention to your alcohol consumption or your smoking or drug use.
Right.
You know, that's going to lead to physical health issues. And I think on the mental health side, it's just like you said, Kevin, there is a work that has to happen, that has to take place for us to be in a right place.
Yeah.
And if that maintenance, if that work doesn't happen, we can't be surprised when our mental health goes to a place that, you know, we're not comfortable with. So I want to start this first segment we're going to share of this show about positivity and moving beyond fear. And it really touched me, and I hope you'll enjoy it. And so without further ado, here it is.
There seems to be, our negativity seems to be looking for a place to go, and therefore when we find a place for our negativity to go, without any consciousness, we might just dump on it. As in 9/11, you know, somebody comes along and says to you, ah, those guys with the secret bombs who are in Iraq who have these weapons of mass distraction, you know, they're going to come at you and they're going to do things to get your attitude. Now you get angry at them, and now it allows us to march in and take over the oil fields. You're so easy to manipulate. Your negativity is so easy to manipulate. There's a thing about passive-aggressive people. This is Armand Mill with you with the Positive Mind, talking about negativity and positivity and how to develop a positive attitude. We're going to look at the need for to be negative. The need for that, the beginning of it, the origins of it. So let's take a look at the beginning of all of this. When evolutionary psychologists notice a universal aspect of how people perceive the world, they make an assumption that a slice of human nature must have been a picture for our different ancestors. But where did this idea of happiness come from, and where did this idea of negativity come from? It seems that we have, and all animals have, an attraction to sameness. That which is the same, we feel safe with. That which is different, we are programmed to reject. programmed to reject. Now, not for me, that which is different, you know, makes me happy because it's different and I can learn from it. But for most people, that which is different automatically has a program in you to reject it. Therefore, if you see somebody of a different race, a different culture, you know, that's why so many people who have reject and become racists and, you know, because you're taught how to reject that which is different. You're taught, it's in your genes. This is the way you were brought up. This is in your genes, number one, and then genetic inheritance for survival is reject that which is too different. Don't let it around you because it may eat you up. And then your parents reinforce that. They tell you, stay within your family, stay within your group, don't marry a Jewish boy. You know, they would the whole idea of staying within your culture, staying within, keep it in tight. Don't get out there, don't see news. So what happened to humans? Humans did an amazing thing. They developed a program called the Positive Mind on WBAI, and this was the next stage in evolution of humankind. They developed this program on WBAI that said, oh, no, don't just reject that which is unusual, welcome it. And a bunch of people said, welcome it, welcome the newness, welcome the unusual. So, for example, if you're walking across the street, and you see six people on a cell phone, and you look and you see, I remember this first, it was like 5 years ago in France, cell phones were more popular than they were here, because they don't have as many successful landlines. So when cell phones came out, they were just, everything, French Telecom was the king of the earth, and they were selling cell phones, and everybody had a cell phone, so everybody walked down the street on a cell phone. When I was a kid, if you heard somebody talking and there was nobody else with them, you'd think they were schizophrenic, right? Nowadays, people talk all the time, and I listen to people's business everywhere I go. So I think about it. You know, sometimes I stop somewhere and I'll have a bite to eat, and there'll be some people on a cell phone, and I'll think, what a wonderful thing. They can have dinner with their families, even though their families are so far behind. And I'll be doing that, and someone will say, I wish people would just shut off their cell phones. I wish people would just not, and, you know, and they get angry at people. That's because you're primed for that anger. So a question is, what makes you see the negative as opposed to the positive? Well, one question we say, genetic inheritance. You know, there it is. You're naturally primed to not like the new things. But there's more to it. Mood makes a difference. Mood. If you just had a fight with your husband and you're on the train and you just, you felt you were brutalized by him, and then somebody speaks to you, you might bark at them, you may scream at them. If you have attitudes, if you are in a bad mood that day, that bad mood may result in your perception, what you see. So Paris Hilton could be in one mood. You could look at it and say, what a little freaky thing. That little nature, and there she is saying that she's learned so much from her prison stay. And you could one day look at that and say, what an odd thing. What an interesting part of our world. Or at another time, you could look at it and just feel really angry and rageful. But you see, if you're angry and rageful, if you are negative, if you feel this negativity towards things, it, the world, you're in trouble. It means you carry your history with you. Now, it's not just your own history. You're carrying an attitude that your family probably had, right? Didn't your family have that same attitude, negativity? They would talk about things sarcastically, and if you were to say something like, oh, what a beautiful sky, they'd say, oh, yeah, but it's prettier in Arizona. There's just some negative to everything, because they're going to show you how smart they were. And so negativity all over the family. The family never celebrated anything great. That's one that'll affect you. The other is you might be depressed. We're talking about negativity and positivity, and let's talk about negativity and depression. I'm a mental health practitioner, and as a licensed clinician, when people come to see me and they are depressed, depressed people frequently have one thing to say. They say, I have an unusual vision into the world, and I see that the world is a selfish place. It's a negative place. People are miserable, and there is no meaning to life. and no meaning to my life. Now, that is a classic statement by many depressed people. Now, that means, person who says that, are they depressed? The answer is yes. That's usually the statement of a depressed person. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind, talking about what is it that makes you perceive things in the negative. Let's look about the theory of link versus flow. That sounds like the name of two people. Here's Link, here's Flo. Flo, I want you to meet Link. Well, actually, I'd love Flo to meet Link. The idea of Flo versus Link is, Link is making associations between something you see and the past, and making another association with a projection of the future. So let's say you look at something and you say, you see an accident on a road, and you say, oh my God, that's a horrible accident, and you remember some accident in your past life, you know, that happened, and then you project onto that, you see, that's why people shouldn't drive, and you have this whole future thing connected to it. Linking is when you link a negative thing to your own past and your own future, and by linking, it gives you a certain amount of power. By linking and saying, you know, that's why you have to be careful, that's why you have to buy insurance, the future teaches you, you have to be careful in the future, those are links. People think in links. People think in links when it comes to achievement. For example, if I get my new job, I'll be happy. If I have a child, I'll be happy. If I buy that house, I'll be happy. You know, I'll be happy if I get enough money. I'll be happy if I win the lottery. I'll be happy if. Those are links. Get it? L-I-N-K-S or L-Y-N-X, however you want to spell it. They're links. It's the links approach to life, if only. You know, if you're living an if-only life, it doesn't work out. Because no matter where you go, you have future links. You have other links of more achievement. What does seem to work instead of links is flow. Now, what flow means that you take and appreciate fully being in the present, and you embrace the present as closely as you can without judgment or negativity. Now, that's the difference between happy people and unhappy people. Happy people embrace the present. They're happy with what is. They're here. Unhappy people are here tomorrow or here yesterday. So what we need is more flow. A psychologist at Yale, how could he be, has concluded that the people who tend to be happier are those who report experiencing more flow. Now, he coined the term in a 1975 book that was based on a whole bunch of interviews he did, and he called it the flow experience. And the idea of flow is be here now. Be here now. Start off here now. Start off here, not in the future, not in the past. Start here. Listen to people. Look at people. Understand people. Appreciate people. See what you could do. The power of positive thinking. Why think positivity? You know, positively. Why? Because if we think in the other terms, it creates more linking. So we have to find a way. It's about attitude. It's about mood. You know, mood is such an important thing. What's your mood? Are you with somebody you love today? Are you? What's your mood like? Are you in a down mood? Do you bring the person you love downness? Do you? Boy, that's a really wonderful thing, don't you think? All right, you do it once in a while. Right? How about 2 days of downness? I met a man the other day who said he and his wife, they just basically hate each other. They're always negative with each other. Yeah. Isn't it all right to live this way? What about your attitude? Where is it going to be? You want to hear something funny? A man said to me the other day, I met a very young man, 30 years old, extremely successful. Extremely successful guy. I said to him, what's the secret? How did you get here? And he said to me, Armand, he said, you wouldn't believe it. He said, I owe it all to one book. I said, what book? He said, Dale Carnegie. Dale Carnegie's book on how to succeed. What is it? What is it? How to succeed in business without really trying, I think is the name of the book. Yeah, Dale Carnegie's book. And I said, what was the tenet of that book? I think I remembered the book. And they said, Dale Carnegie said one very important thing. People have no interest in your negative attitude. They don't care unless it feeds them in some way. They actually don't have any interest in your attitude. He said, if you want to really learn something, learn how to listen to people. Learn how to listen and learn how to ask questions that prove that you're listening. And ask questions out of the interest out of your own heart. If you're not, he says, don't be phony about it. He said, but learn to listen. If you listen, you will be successful. Well, this man said that's all he's ever done. He said he never talks. He just listens. And he's got a positive attitude somewhere. But inside, I said, so what happened to you when you see somebody who's really talking stupid? You know, who's saying something that has no meaning. And he says, he just ignores it. It just kind of floats over him. And he maintains his attitude of positivity that people respond so much to. It's tough. It's tough. And I know it sounds like easy words. Get a positive attitude. It's not easy. It's very, very difficult to kind of turn it around. But you've got to get the idea of it. The idea of it is if you see yourself being negative, if you see yourself caught in that, ask yourself what's going on. Not just why am I so negative, but what's going on. Don't believe that you could be so mad at the bus driver that it could really take your whole day with negativity. Don't believe that the person you work with in the office can be the one person who's going to make you miserable. Don't believe that. Examine it instead. One of the things to do is if you find yourself on a negative tear, ask yourself, take the person out of it. Now, you have to take whoever's in it. Let's say you get angry at somebody you work with. Take them out of the picture and say, where has this situation existed in my life before? Where have I felt like this before? What is specifically like this? Like, let's say somebody corrects you at work and they do it badly and you respond ultra negatively. You ask yourself, where is this familiar to me? How is this familiar to me? Because, you know, I mean, people could do stupid things like correct you badly, and you could laugh at them on some days. Then at other days, you're ready to bite their head off. We're taking one of your calls right now. This is Armand Mill. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hi, is this Armand?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Armand. This is Jasmine. I'm calling you because I just got home from a situation that was all about change and how I'm going to react to it. I turned on the radio and how, you know, synchronistic, that's exactly what you're talking about.
Amazing.
So I felt really compelled to call you. There's a big change going on in the workplace, a lot of people being excessed. And I was just at a union meeting, and right after the union meeting, I just walked right into Trinity Church and I just sat for a while just to try to shake off all of that negativity. Because I'm trying to approach the situation with a sense of, hey, you know, it's just going to be something new and something different, and it's going to be okay. But then when you're with all these other people who are, you know, in the fear mode, it's really, you know, difficult to, you know, to be with that higher, you know, feeling of it's going to work out, it's going to be okay. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, it's kind of, Jasmine, you know, if you think about it, it's the most natural, fear is the most natural, invasive, pervasive, contagious of all emotions. You know, so when somebody like people in a union or people who are getting excessed, who are losing their jobs, get together, they're scared.
Absolutely.
But nobody's saying, hi, I'm scared. No, they're saying, I'm angry. Oh, it's unjust. Oh, it's unfair. If they all said, oh, I'm scared, I don't know what's going to happen next, and they hugged each other and they cried, they would wind up with a beautiful attitude. In fact, the company would probably hire them right back and say, wait a minute, we need you, because you have a different way of doing things.
Yeah.
But fear is what's used, you know. I know the other day I was looking at one of the great injustices of New York City is the rental laws. The fact that the rents go up and go up and go up and the poor people are being driven out of Manhattan, being driven out of New York, and it's becoming, New York is a city for wealth. So the Rent Guidelines Board meets and they're proposing a 5% increase. And the people are saying, roll back the increases, we want no increase, and they're screaming and hollering on both sides, and they settle for 3%. Mm. If you didn't have the negativity, you wouldn't have wound up at 3.
Yeah.
We need two sides everywhere, and when I look at it, even though I don't feel like I'm on one side or the other, I love watching two sides go into operation to find a balance.
Yeah.
You know, now you, going into that church, why do you think you went into a church?
Well, first of all, I had never been down to the Wall Street area before, and it was just an attraction as I was walking to go to my meeting, because it was right in front of me, and I had never been there, and it was beautiful. But I just wanted to regain a sense of tranquility and peace, you know, within myself, because there was just so many different factions at that meeting that I, you know, sort of walked out, you know, just feeling scattered and, you know, going, having gone back myself into fear mode. So how many times do I need to, you know, escort my mind back, you know, to the present moment before I kind of shake all that off? So that's what I was doing in there.
Beautifully said. How beautifully said. How many times do I have to escort my mind back to the present, to the flow, as opposed to the links and the fear? Beautifully said, Jasmine.
Thank you.
Jasmine, was that Trinity Church you said you went in?
I'm sorry?
Did you say you went into Trinity Church?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that place is amazing.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's an amazing church. You know there's a fortune buried underneath that church.
No kidding.
No, that's a thing from one of the movies with Tom Hanks about, you know, how underneath Trinity Church is this giant fortune. But that's been there forever.
Yeah, that is very beautiful.
Yeah.
I should have stopped by BAI. I forgot what neighborhood I was in.
We're right there on the other side of Wall
Street.
There you go. Trinity Church on one side, WBAI on the other.
Well, then missed opportunity. I'll have to go back.
Next time.
Yeah.
Thanks
well,
for
thank
calling
you.
In.
I appreciate, you know, your topic for the day. It was so relevant.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank
Good
you.
To hear you can keep your spirits up. This is Armand DeMille, WBAI. We're going to take more calls after our break. But please, first, a few program announcements, a little music, and then we'll be right back.
You are listening to The Positive Mind here on WBAI. It is a replay, if you couldn't tell, from the sound of Armand DeMille's voice and, of course, that 40 Wall Street reference. It is a little bit dated, but we felt that the subject matter was more relevant in some ways than ever in terms of positivity and negativity. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I love how he says to step back and see two things, two opposing forces come into balance. You know, that the fear is the contagious part, that we're all tempted by fear and can get caught up in the negativity because of the fear. But Armand's curiosity, his perennial curiosity, is able to step back and look at these two forces coming together and see them work out some sort of compromise. And, of course, talking to this woman who escorts her mind to a place of peace, a place of calm amidst all of the, you know, fears that are out there. And again, fears are about tomorrow. And this whole show is about be here now, find something now here to enjoy. There's plenty of here to that was here yesterday to enjoy. Find it and practice enjoying it.
We are going to take a short musical break, and we'll be back after this piece to share with you part two of the program you were just listening to. You are tuned in to 99.5 FM WBAI in New York. We'll be back after this. Thank you. Jack Wilkins here on 99.5 FM WBAI with Red Clay. Phenomenal. Believe it's a Freddie Hubbard tune. Sounds a lot to me like Sonny. A lot of the chord changes.
Thank you for the things that you're giving to me.
Bobby Hebb.
Yeah.
So you are tuned into The Positive Mind on this Wednesday afternoon here in New York City. And we want to remind you that if you would like to help us eliminate future fund drives, you can go to WBAI.org and become a BAI buddy in honor of The Positive Mind. If you appreciate this programming, if you like hearing Armand DeMille's voice still on the waves from time to time, if you believe in the mission of BAI, that's WBAI.org and click on ways to donate. And you can always send us an email directly at positivemind@wbai.org. That's positivemind@wbai.org. Send us your questions, comments, requests, ideas. And if you'd like, you can reach us here directly at the Positive Mind Center, 212-757-4488. That's 212-757-4488. That's how you can reach us. And we'd like to bring you part two of the piece that you heard earlier this hour.
Just the part that was relevant is become a listener too, you know? He told that story about this very successful man who became a listener. And so listening, you know, you'll hear people's negativity, but you won't be participating in it. So
absolutely. Here we go with part two. Here's the second part of the show you were listening to earlier in the hour.
Today, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Here in WBAI, trying to separate the positive from the negative. You know, a lot of people say, put on some great music and it'll always make me feel good. It's a mistake. It's a mistake. That's more link. Link versus flow. We don't want to have to add something to make us feel happy. See, if you give me a little heroin, I'll feel happy. Link. If you give me someone to love me, I'll feel happy. Link. If I sit in this church and I get quiet and I feel good with myself, right this moment, flow. If I go home, if I find a quiet space inside of myself, if I admire this flower, if I look at it but not dependent on it, flow. So every time you've got a chance, or you've got a chance for happiness, and it comes through link, it also comes through flow, because the music doesn't make you happy. The music may distract you, like the book may distract you and take you out, you know, for a while. But flow is that part of you, that gorgeous, gorgeous part of you that is a messenger of love to humanity. And I know you people out there. I know that you are the most loving, kind, beautiful, generous people. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to this program. And the fact that you are listening means that you're a kind person. Kind. And as kind people, imagine if I could take just a million of you and put you on this planet, you know, bring you to a party. Geez, you know, the floor would never be dirty because everybody would be picking up the dirt. Kind. People would offer each other seats. People would be nice to each other, even if they were a little challenged. Kind. But that's where it comes from. It comes from this inside spot of flow. But it's not association. So if you only feel happy when you make money, it's not going to happen. If you only feel happy when you get approved of by your boss, it's not going to happen. Find the flow. Find the spot. And that's what I think depressed people are very smart. Because what depressed people do is they very often isolate themselves until they get to that spot. See, they're depressed, 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 and then all of a sudden they feel this kind of lifting because they've made peace with themselves. And that's flow. Let me take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
I'm on?
Yes.
Hi. My name's Jessica.
Hello, Jessica.
I was just listening to your program, and hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. And I was just listening to you talk about attitudes and, you know, how people kind of have negative and positive attitudes. And I've always been kind of very high energy, and I've always been a happy child. And what's happening is, as I get older and I have more experiences, I find it hard to, like, detach myself from the experience and just let it be. You know, I tend to linger on to the emotions.
What do you mean, linger on to the emotions? You mean if a negative thing happens, you stay with it a little longer?
I do. And then, I mean, eventually I'll get over it, but I'm afraid that it's going to change me, you know, because I like being the way that I am. And I'm afraid that if, you know, like, you know, right now I'm going through a hard breakup, I'm afraid that I'll leave not being the same person that I was coming in.
Yeah, and the fear of leaving, you know, the fear of losing it is one of those links. Here we go again with the link. Afraid to leave your attitude. Afraid to leave your childhood. Very happy people throughout childhood. You see, I could perceive in you that you had difficulty with your father when you were young. And you were a happy kid, but you had trouble with him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the trouble?
My father was very moody. We're very similar. You know, my father was, now he's changed a lot, but when I was younger, he was very, very, he's always been very passionate and moody, and you never know what to expect, you know, so because sometimes he'd come home and, you know, he'd be angry and he'd take it out on us, you know. So I had problems with my dad because, you know, first I didn't see him a lot because he was a very hard worker, and then he was very moody, so I never knew what to expect. So,
But he liked you a lot, didn't he?
Oh, he loves me, yeah.
Right. So because what did you do? He was negative and he got caught in some of his negative spaces and you were positive. You were this happy child and he kind of used you to pick himself up out of the basement. So your happiness was again linked, but it was linked as a counterpoint to your father's negative self, even though he had happy moments too. So your happiness was more in service of the family. And what happened later in life, like right now, you could just tell your father is getting a little happier, and you're getting depressed.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
my
like
father
the energy is shifting. He's getting into being in a better mood, and you're getting to be in a worse mood.
Yeah, and I'm also becoming like him in many ways. Like, as I'm getting older, I'm becoming more, I'm a very passionate person, and, you know, I'm becoming unpredictable in what I do, and, you know, I don't know. It really scares people. It scares people away.
Now, who did it scare away? The last person you had a love relationship with where you thought you had a great romance and
yes.
This guy ran away? He broke up with you?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah, because, you know, because of the way I am. You know, and when I'm good, I'm wonderful. You know, when times are good with me, they're really, really good.
What a wonderful thing for you to have done, to have gotten rid of somebody who was a surrogate father because he only loved you when you were a happy person, right? Mm-hmm. And then you saw this relationship and you said, well, wait a minute, is this going to be just like with my dad where he's going to love me because I'm such a happy person? And then you challenged him and you showed him the other side of you. And he said, oh, no, I'm just like your dad. I want only a happy person. And he runs off. That's terrific. How great for you. What a wonderful thing for you to learn. Because look at where you've taken yourself. You've taken yourself into a place where you've slid off being happy for other people to not necessarily being depressed, but sliding somewhere in the middle into the flow of who you are. What's a you is the question. And I can tell you from hearing your voice, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay no matter where you settle. You could settle and you could become moody and you could become negative and you could be, how old are you? Are you 46?
No, I'm 30.
You're 30. You got plenty of time. Plenty of time to go through all of this, you know, and you're going to have a wonderful time to go through and you're going to feel okay for it. And it helps to have a therapist around because a part of you is evolving, you know.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going through a big change.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Mm.
It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Find somebody you trust. Find somebody you trust. Let them give you a hand with it.
Okay. Thanks, Armand.
Sure. Bye-bye. This is Armand DeMille. I'll take one more call. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello. Yes, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just wondering, how do we actually go to that flow you were talking about? Like, how do we get there?
Oh, but you know how to get there, don't you?
No, not really.
Okay, so let me ask you about what happens to you. You get really nervous at times. Do you ever settle down and just look at what is in the present?
You know, I do. Sometimes I do.
I know you do. How do you do that?
I try to stop my mind from, you know, I meditate sometimes, and then... at other times, I just know that my mind is, like, really busy, so I try to just stop and see it, you know. But I wanted to see how I could do it all the time, kind of, you know.
Good. So let me recommend something to you.
Yeah.
When we say being in the present, meditation is good, but meditation has its dangers because meditation very often does not keep you in the present. It doesn't keep you here. It keeps you in a kind of a spatial here.
Yeah.
It's being aware of everything around you, seeing everything without judgment. Now, the key here is no judgment. Looking at it all as part of the universe that you're in. So the key is no judgment. So sitting where you are now, are you at work or are you at home?
I'm at home.
Where are you?
At home.
You're at home. So right around you right now, what do you see that's around you. Just describe what it looks like.
Well, I'm looking outside, and there's like a tree and people walking and cars and stuff.
Uh-huh. And how do you like the way you feel inside when you're looking out that window?
Good.
So anytime you look out that window, you could easily go to that place inside yourself. Now, without the window, what if you looked at a wall? Could you go to the same place?
I could, but then I think I would be bored after
Good.
A little...
Great lesson you're teaching us.
Okay.
Boredom is not a real feeling. Boredom is a sensation that you have to get out of where you are. And one of the things that all the masters of the universe learn is that they have to allow boredom to dissipate, to dissolve. You surrender. One of the best examples in the world, and I'm going to give this to you as an exercise, if you go to a paint store, you can buy little square mirrors that are 1 foot by 1 foot. You know these mirrors that have backing on it? You paste them on the wall?
Mm-hmm.
They're like $1 or $2 at the most. You can sit on the floor and put that mirror on a chair. So now you're sitting on the floor and you're facing a chair, and this mirror is on the chair. Then I recommend you get a plumber's candle. A plumber's candle is those plain white candles that they sell in hardware stores that are very cheap, and it's just, you know, they're called plumber's candles because there's nothing about them that's fancy. You put that in a dish and you light it, and you sit there, and you have no other lights on, and you look at yourself in the mirror with the candle between you and the self. A thing happens. This is magic.
Wow, okay.
So you're looking in the mirror, and there's a candle between you. The candle is lit. And you're going to decide that you're not going to move until the candle goes out, until it flickers to the very, very end. And what happens in this case is you find yourself looking at yourself, and you see things you've never seen before. And then as the candle burns down, it creates shadows between you and the mirror face. And you see things in the mirror that you never saw, even imagined. And as it burns down, you've got to keep your eyes on yourself. You don't let yourself get distracted. You keep looking, and then you see yourself getting impatient. You want it to burn down faster. But you're going to keep sitting there and keep looking at yourself. This, I tell you, my friends, is one of the greatest of all experiences. I recommend it to everyone to do.
And okay, thank
looking.
You so much.
Sure.
Sit there till the entire candle burns down?
Well, let me finish. What's going to happen is the candle will go down, and then what's going to happen, it's going to flicker. But in this dish that you put underneath it, there's going to be a pool of wax. So the candle will flicker, the wick will flicker inside that wax, and you'll almost feel like you're dying. You'll feel like you're facing your death. You'll feel like you're waiting for the candle to go. And the candle will die, and it'll come right back. And it'll flicker out, and then it'll come right back. And instead of anticipating or requiring anything, you just keep looking at it until that candle goes. And when the candle finally goes, close your eyes and lay back. And you will have trained yourself to do a wonderful association with yourself.
Okay.
Great. What's your name?
My name is Prana.
Prana, would you call me or email me and let me know how that went for you?
I'll definitely do that. Thank you so much.
Sure. So I'm going to describe that again for a number of people as a way of getting with you. I remember I did this in a workshop once where I had 100 people doing this in a room. And we had a room and we had chairs and we had these mirrors. And people just sat on the floor looking at the mirror, candle between them and the mirror. Plumber's candle was like 4 inches. And you lit it, and it took hours for it to burn. And when it finally burned out, yes, hours. When it finally burned out, people felt more connected to themselves and more peaceful than they ever had before. So give it a try. And those of you who do it, would you give me send me an email and let me know about your experience? Take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
I just want to say hello to you and all the lovely people at the DeMille Center.
Great. Who is this?
My name's Roland.
Hello, Roland.
The question of flow, I mean, it's something easy to find, but extremely difficult to hang on to.
Yeah, that's the trouble. You see, now link, again, the old link comes in when you find flow. You find flow and you hang on to it, and that becomes a link. You see, It's like when you get this place and then you try to hold on to the place, then the place becomes a link. Flow is the existence in the present. You don't have to hold on to it. You just have to be here now. But as soon as your mind starts saying, uh-oh, it's going away, uh-oh, I'm leaving it, you know, you don't have to even do any of that. All you got to do is, like, if it leaves you, if everything leaves you, just go right back to it. Where am I? Here I am.
I've always been lousy at meditating. That's
sure. Meditating is a different thing, and I understand. Well, it means that you've also always been an anxious person, you know? You've been somebody who's had anxiety and problems related to anxiety, right?
Well, you know, me and, 99% of the rest of the planet.
No, just you. The rest of the planet doesn't have any problems. You're the only one.
Everybody's fine.
Everybody's fine, just you. No, anxiety, specifically anxiety-related problems like, you know, compulsive behaviors and stuff like that. Does your mind get around that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah. I have my issues with compulsive behavior.
Yeah, that's it, because compulsive people tend to have ultra-active minds. You know, in a way it's a gift and in a way it's a curse. But what you've got is you've got a mind that kind of circles on itself and circles on itself and circles on itself. So what you're doing is interrupting the circle. What you're doing when you get into flow is you're stopping the association. The fact that you could do it for 10 seconds is amazing. The fact that you do it for 10 seconds and can't do it for a minute and then come back to it for another 10 seconds, that's great.
Yeah, I find a lot of solace in gardening.
And gardening's a good thing.
Oh, it is.
So thank you for calling in. What's your name?
My name's
Roland.
Roland.
Roland, of course. I'll take another call. Hi. Hi, you're on the air. 212.
Hi, you're on the air.
There he is. Hello there. All right. I know we have somebody there, you know, we have somebody there, but it, sometimes because of the link and delay system, it gets pretty tough.
Hello.
Hello, you're there.
Hi.
Yes.
Hi, I'd like to have a word with Armand.
You're speaking to Armand right now.
Oh, wow, excellent.
Oh, wow, he's right.
Oh, you know, I had a couple of viewers, a couple of listeners called in wondering about how to generate flow, so... I kind of spent my life somewhat studying how to do that, so I thought maybe I could share it with you guys.
Sure, what do you got?
Okay, well, the first thing you should do is just move yourself from a situation if you can. Sit down somewhere, just find a nice quiet place and start to breathe. Kind of like I'm doing right now, because I had to run away from a few people to make this phone call, right? So... here we are, we're sitting and we're just breathing, right? And by breathing, we're oxygenating our brain. And part of doing that, we are starting to just settle down into our own body, our own skin. And the next thing we need to do is, if we're not feeling good or if we're not feeling fine, is we need to generate, okay, we need to put our mind into thinking, well, am I happy here? Okay. And most of us, if we're honest, we'll say, no, we're not. Okay, so we from doing that, we have a wish to grow. We ask ourselves, you know, we have a wish to grow from our situation, okay? So by doing that, we somewhat opening ourselves to the universe to grow out of it. Once you have a wish to grow, the next thing you could do is kind of think of some mentor or a teacher or a master throughout the time that has been here and say, what would they do? Or if you could access them in your heart or in your mind or in your body or by reading a book, okay? And start to resonate with that kind of quality of what that individual would represent within you. And you'll find that if you have a wish to grow, okay, and you're breathing, and you start to think about what this individual would do in this situation, you'll start to generate somewhat of a polarity in that sense.
We're short on time.
I know, that's why I'm talking really fast here, I'm sorry.
But you don't have to talk fast. I want to say to you, I want to ask you something about yourself. Where were you before this? Before you located how to find yourself centered, which is what they call it, were you used to be a crazy guy?
I was an absolutely crazy guy, yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Think back, now, when were you a crazy guy? What year?
Well, pretty much since birth, I would say.
Until how long?
I would say around 21, around 18 to 21, I discovered something.
And
it started to alter the way I was thinking, feeling, perceiving the world, what I was putting into my head and my mind.
A wonderful thing. What's your name?
My name is Dimitri.
Dimitri, I want to thank you. I wish we had time to go through all of the lessons, but...
The last lesson is the most important one, and it's 1 second. Ready?
Sure.
Untap the tension that you're feeling within you. Where is it? Is it in your mind? Is it in your body? Is it in your gut? Where is that feeling? Is it emotional? Contact it, breathe into it, and start to surrender. Surrender all your tensions to the entire universe. And once you do that, you will start to generate that flow. Okay? So real simple, folks. Contact, surrender, and flow.
Contact, surrender, and flow. This is Armand DeMille with you. It's Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. We have, good to be with you today. Good to take your calls. If you want to get a copy of today's program, you call 212-757-4488. Or send me an email, armand@thepositivemind.com, A-R-M-A-N-D. Be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m., my friends.
And there you have it, part two of the program on positivity, keeping a positive attitude. You've been listening to The Positive Mind. We decided to reach into the archives and share an older program from Armand DeMille with you. We felt like it was the right time to do that.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed it.
Contact.
Yes, you can always send us an email here. Send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org. We love hearing from you. We love your feedback, your questions, your comments, suggestions, requests, whatever it may be. Drop us a line, positivemind@wbai.org, or you can give us a call directly here at the Positive Mind Center, 212-757-4488. So we will be
back next week, Tuesday and Wednesday.
That's right, back next week, Tuesday and Wednesday. And thanks for tuning in. Thanks to everyone who contributed during the fun drive. See you next week.